It's important that we do things outside the four walls of here, and it's important that that we're showing love to everybody, whether they're believers or not. They are precious, and we, it's not performative based. We want to serve people no matter what their background, no matter what their current status is. We want to serve them and love on them. Good morning and welcome to Calvary Chapel of Leesburg. Today is the fourth day of February, the year of our Lord, 2024. My name is Ron Stauffer, and we're going to be in our series on the book of Genesis. We're in Genesis chapter 1 today. We just completed a discussion offline here about missions, and so this is going to be a little bit of a shorter message today. That's okay. We have time, and God understands. So this will, we'll probably go about 20 minutes today on this message. If you would rise, I'm going to read our scripture for today, and that is in Genesis chapter 1. It's page 1 in your Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. First, Lord, I ask you to guide my words today and to guide us into the truth today, to help us to understand what you're doing in the creation account. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. This is about the first day. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. This has been a reading of God's word. Lord God, we thank you for this reading of your word. We ask you to help us to understand this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks. Please have a seat. You probably saw a pattern in this reading today, especially if you know the rest of the chapter. This pattern repeats over and over again. It repeats 6 times. And for each day of creation, we read, either explicitly stated or we can reasonably and logically infer, this kind of pattern. First off, we learn of the original state of being or the original condition at the time of that day, when that day began. For example, here in this passage, it is stated that the earth was without form and void. It was formless and void. That is to say, it didn't have a definite form or structure. It was sort of nebulous, and it was empty, that it was unpopulated. We saw last week that unpopulated, empty, nebulous form contained both solid matter and water. And then we see, it is implied, God's design. In other words, here's the original condition on this day, and God has in mind that he's going to change that. We saw that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And that is the idea that God has a plan. God wants to execute, will execute on his plan. He has a design in mind. Now, we're using anthropomorphic language about God. We're going to talk about God, that he sees things, he hears things, he speaks. We'll talk about him walking. And, I don't know, does God have feet? You know, what size are his feet? We have to do this, and the scripture does this so that we can speak in about unbounded things with bounded language. We're limited to human language. And we're going to see God make numerous accommodations to our great limitations. This is sort of along the lines of a paramecium trying to comprehend an elephant or a human being. God is that much greater than us, and so much greater besides. So we see that the original condition of the day. The earth was without form and void. And then we're going to see that God has a design. And we know that because we're going to see him execute upon that design. And then God gives, and it's not always in this exact order, but these elements are generally contained in each one of the 6 days of Genesis chapter 1. We're going to see God speaks a command. In our case, let. Let there be light. It's interesting to go, if you speak any other languages and read the translations in those other languages, to see, you get to see some really cool things with subjunctive use of language and all. And it jumps out at you. Es werde Licht. God's design. He gives a spoken command, and then there's the result of the command that is illustrated, that is narrated for us there. Let there be light, and there was light. He spoke, it happened. He spoke, it happened. This happens day after day for 6 days. And we see the result of the command. And then God is going to give it boundaries. And each one of the 6 days, we're going to see this. God creates something, but then he tweaks it. It's not quite done. There's a little more that needs to happen. And two of the days are just out and out two-step days. It's almost like in the morning he did this, and in the afternoon he did that. And then God names it. We see this repeated over and over again. What is the thing about naming something? What does it tell you about the person who names and the thing that is named? Ownership, authority. When you had children, did you let just any person off the street name that child? No. Did you let your parents or your grandparents name the child? No. Did you let your brothers or sisters name the child? No. You named your child. Why? Because that's right and proper that you would do that. And the one who gives the name is greater than the one who receives the name. So God gives the name to what he created, and that signifies also that he's in authority. He has dominion over that. He's in control. There's a sense of ownership. I don't mean in the sense of chattel ownership, like I own a car. Although I did have a car that I named. Maybe you did too. And so then God looks at what he has done, and he doesn't speak that it's good. It says he sees that it is good. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that it used to be evil and now it's good? No, there's a sense of completion. It's good. So like when you're baking chocolate chip cookies, you've got some flour, you've got sugar, you got a pinch of salt, you got a little bit of vanilla. You got an egg or two in there. You got your chocolate chips. You know that I've baked a lot of chocolate chip cookies, right? Because I could repeat the recipe to you from memory. And you start putting things together. But at that phase where you're putting things together, you're not going to say, "Yep, I'm done," or "It's good." If the sense of good is it's complete, even the dough, I just can't help myself. It doesn't always make it into the oven. I just have to have some of that dough. And I could go, that's good. Well, it tastes good at that point, but is it good in the sense of it's complete? It's not. When is it good? When those cookies come out of the oven, then it's good. It's complete. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was what? Good. It's complete. But it doesn't have a name yet. God saw the light, that it was good. And God, now what does he do? He divides it. So now the tweaking starts. He divides the light. He divided the light from the darkness. Why? We're going to see this over and over again. Division. We're going to separate the dry land from the sea. Animals are going to reproduce after their kind, not after the other kind of animal. We're going to see this theme, and I want to prep us for this theme, that in all of existence, it's it's based on, a part of what it's based on is boundaries, borders, separation. God's going to say to the seas, this far and no further. He's going to separate the dry land from the seas. Why? Because if it's all mixed together, you can't do anything with it. And God has a purpose. He has a design. He's working towards a goal. He wants to do something with this. Now, this brings up a question, and I'm interrupting myself here because we're not even to naming things yet, but this question just came. It came to me, and it's a frustrating thing to me. Maybe it is to you, too. Why the process, God? Why don't you just say, let there be universe, and there was universe, and all the cookies are baked, and all the animals are named already. The people have already had a bunch of babies. There's 100 million people on earth. He doesn't even have to say, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. It's all done. Why stretch it out? Why a process? Your childhood was a process. Adam and Eve were created from, you know, Adam was created from dirt. Eve was created from Adam. And then he gives them children. Why? Why are you so helpless for so many years? Why do you have to learn things by falling down and cutting your finger? Some of us learn that lesson really late in life. Why not just, like, hatch from an egg and you're a full-grown chicken already? Why the childhood? Why the development? Why make light 4 days before you make the sun and the moon and stars? We don't even get the bodies that we think produce light for another, it's going to be the fourth day until that happens. How can there be light now? We're going to get into that. We might not get there today. God gives it boundaries. He gives it separation. He gives it order. God is a, we're going to see this theme over and over. God is a God of order. And where there is chaos, it's not good. God never pronounces chaos good. For example, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God saw it, that it was good. No. It's not that it's evil. It's that it's not done. The cookies aren't baked yet. This is a theological and a practical lesson for each of us. God wanted the universe to come about in steps. Separated. Evening, morning, the first day. Evening, morning, the second day. Evening, morning, the third day. Evening, do you get it? He doesn't want it to run all together. He wants the separation. This is going to go into everything that is and everything that we do. For example, whose pocket knife is this? It's my pocket knife. It's not your pocket knife. If I couldn't make claim to this pocket knife and sharpen it when I want to and carry it with me when I want to, how and take it with me where I want to because I have to leave it out there for you to take and for you to sharpen, how useful is this knife to me? It has no utility at all. I need the separation of property. This is my property, and you have your property. Why? Because this, God gave this to me to benefit me. And if you have a knife, God gave a knife to you to benefit you. If I have a car, it's to benefit me. If you have a car, it's to benefit you. We can lend to each other. We can sell to each other. That's okay. But if everything belonged to everybody, nothing would be of use to anyone. And if everybody owns everything, then nobody really owns anything. There needs to be separation, not just in the creation, but this is the pattern for all of existence forever. Separation. We're going to see in Genesis chapters 10 and 11, the Tower of Babel. We're going to see a separation of mankind because God didn't want all the people to be in the same place, speaking the same language, doing the same thing, worshiping in the same way with the same politics and the same king and have the tower that reaches supposedly to heaven. And he's like, no. I told you to spread out, separate yourselves over the whole world and you don't get it and you're staying here in one place, I'm going to confuse your languages and there's going to be separations between you based on language and families and nations. And then God spread them all over the face of the earth because he had a design. He wants the people separated. He wants them spread out and fill the entire earth, not just Mesopotamia. So God's going to name it. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And now he names it. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Now, if you're stuck in that modern scientific mindset, you're going, there can't be a day and a night because there's not a sun. That would be missing the entire point. The point is that God created light first. You say, well, that can't possibly happen. Oh, yes, it can. I'm starting a 3-ring binder, and I'm going to take my publications that I get off, you know, from online and other places in my research, 3-hole punch them, put them in the binders for you. You can read these. So here's an article about science uncovers the origin of the first light of the universe. And it's a paper. It's not really a study. It's an article about cosmic microwaves and all kinds of things. But the idea is this. Light predates stars. Physicists are telling us this now. Before there were stars, there was light. Who knew? God knew. Moses even knew that. When we get to the modern age, we're thinking, no, you can't have light without the sun. Yeah, turns out you can. You could read all about it in that article. But we're not going to explain things like photons and antiphotons and matter and antimatter and all that. Do we have that slide ready to go? God said, let there be light. What you see on the board there is a scientific explanation of that. This is what's called Maxwell's equation. Here's what God could have said if he was wanting to cater to us in our modern scientific mindset. He would have said this. Let the four-dimensional divergence of an antisymmetric second-rank tensor equal zero. That's what that says. That would be modern scientific language. This is an explanation of what light is. The bottom equation up there. Yes, it's got funny upside-down triangle and capital letters and lower letters. And let the four-dimensional divergence of an antisymmetric second-rank tensor equal zero. What would we do with something like that? Let there be light. I was playing around with artificial intelligence the other day, ChatGPT. I wanted to learn about it. It's going to be here. So I asked it to do a thing, and I said, write for me an article that talks about this and this and this, and it takes all this input that I have just given you, these 2 pages of inputs. I want you to digest it and spit it back to me in the form of a business plan. And then I pushed return. And I thought, this is going to be like Star Trek. The computer's going to say, working. And then I'll hear little jiggly sounds and do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like that. And then I can go get a cup of coffee and come back, and then it'll be ready. Now I pushed return, and then the whole article came up just like that. I mean, it was less than 2 seconds. It was a two-page article, two-page business plan. How can that be? Because science. God has an intellect that so far goes beyond that. God could have just thought, let there be universe. And there was universe. Blammo! Bang, even. Big bang. But he wouldn't need 14 billion years to create stars and planets and things like that. I'm skipping a lot of stuff here, and we'll speak to this again next week. But you see here that God makes it, he confirms it, he calls it good, he divides things up. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. He didn't wait till Adam and Eve were around and say, hey, a couple days before you got here, I created this, what you see, this thing that's shining in your eyes. What do you want to call it, Adam? No. God named it. It's not our place to control light. We can use it. God doesn't give us dominion over light. That's not ours to play with. There are some things that God created that he retains control and dominion over, and he does not give that to us. It's going to get touchy, and I'm going to step on some toes coming up, because God's going to talk about be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And some of us may not want to hear that God wants people to get married and make babies. We think that we get to control our fertility completely at our whim, and God has no say in that matter. You're going to find out that that's not so. Can you control your fertility and God not zap you dead? Of course, of course. It's within our capabilities. That doesn't always mean that's something that we're supposed to do. Now, don't extrapolate from what I just said there. You know, we don't have 32 children, even though we've been married over 40 years. So, I mean, you get it, right? God called the light day and the darkness he called night. He made them, he divided them, he gets to name them, he has dominion over them. He does not give that dominion to us. We do not have the dominion to manipulate the day and the night and to control it. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Again, I ask, how can you have an evening and a morning without a sun? Because God made it so. And the idea of this evening and morning, this is a linguistic tool called synecdoche. The idea is that you name a part of something to refer to the whole thing. So, I talked about naming a car, right? When I was in high school, we didn't call our cars cars. We called them wheels. Hey, nice wheels. They weren't talking about, when somebody said, hey, nice wheels, they weren't saying, I really like those round things there under your chassis that go around and insert. They're talking about the whole car. But they only name a part of the car. Wheels. Evening. Morning. The evening contains the darkness. The morning contains the light. So there was darkness and there was light. The first day, even without a sun. Even without a sun. Can God do that? Yeah. I'll let you in on a secret. God's going to do it again. If you wanted, we're going to close with this. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. And our focus is on verses 21 through 23, Revelation 21, verses 21 through 23, but I'm going to start here. This is describing heaven. The construction of its wall was of jasper, in verse 18, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city, that is the New Jerusalem, or heaven, were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh, etc., etc. And there were 12 gates. The 12 gates, verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. Can you imagine a pearl that big? That's where we get the expression about the pearly gates, by the way. It comes from here. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. It's glass, it's gold that you can see through. Did you know that you can pound out gold to be so thin that it's one molecule thick, and it becomes translucent at that point. You can see through it. Verse 22, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So there's no temple in heaven, because God is the temple. In verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. There's no sun in heaven, because the Lamb of God is the light there. So how can we have light in the beginning? Without the sun? God is light. We read that again in 1 John chapter 1. God is light. And then the day is counted, evening and morning, one day, thus indicating an end to this phase of creation. Next week, day two. Day two. I looked over my notes for this and my plans. I've taught this before, this book. Trust me when I say we're not going to just go like two verses a week. So I looked at my notes from last time. I really did get down to like a chapter a week, but not in the beginning, not at creation. This is too important to do all of creation in one day. Even God stretched it out over 7 days. I hope you get the point. It's a process, and your entire life is a process. And God doesn't solve all your problems at one time. And there's things he wants you to struggle for. There's things he wants you to fight for. There's things he wants you to work for. And he's not going to give it to you all at once. And there's going to be some pain along the way. We're going to learn about that too. Lord God, I thank you for this message. I thank you for this revelation to us about the first day. In this use of symbolic language and theological language. And God, would you teach us to see things from your perspective. That you want us to know who and why. And you're less focused on how. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you rise with me and we'll close with our song, the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.